God really helps us in our transitions in life and points us to Himself. And as you know, Carolyn thinks about Greece, Shelley thinks about Hillcrest Christian Academy, and you face the week you do. The Israelites coming out of Egypt, you talk about refugees, you know, more than a million wandering, saying, oh, well, how are we going to do this? Who's going to help us? And God was faithful. So He'll be faithful to each one here today. And when God gave His Ten Commandments, going over each one in the next couple of weeks, it was quite a time. And the Lord points people to His rescue mission before He gives them the Ten Commandments. He points to Himself as a key to following those commandments. And so the Lord says this, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. That's really a description of a relationship, isn't it? When you think about it. I'm the Lord your God, and I brought you out of the land of Egypt. If Jesus were to say something like that to us, He would say, I am your Lord, and I brought you out of the land of sin to serve me. And then, post-salvation, for the true Israelites, post-salvation for Abraham, Noah, Moses, God says, now here's my ways, here's my commandments. And the foundation of those commandments are going to be the gospel, as it were, or God Himself. God's salvation is the foundation, and then, as Paul said, the law and the prophets built on His rescue mission. So a lot of times Christians do a little song and dance when it comes to God's law or God's commandments. And we say, well, that was a long time ago. And, you know, some of our favorite phrases are, well, we're not under the law. And that just means, you know, that God would set us free to follow it, not be crushed by it only. And so we have a tendency to sidestep His law and to forget before He gave the law, He gave salvation. He gave Himself. And this is what happened to the true Israelites. He got them out of the land of slavery, away from everything that would destroy them. And He's doing that for us today. Certainly saves us from the power of sin. He is saving us from the power of sin. He saved us from the penalty of sin. We could be, you know, loved and accepted by the Lord 100%. And He saves us in the future from the presence of sin. And sometimes we expect that to happen before heaven, but you know, God's faithful in the midst of rough times, not just after we cross the finish line. So God allows us to obey Him after our salvation, does the same thing here for the Israelites. And even though sin is still there and influence, the Lord rules and reigns. As just a simple thing to remember, for the Israelites and for the Christian, sin remains. The influence of Egypt was still going to be there. In fact, later on they would say, take us back to Egypt. We like the onions and, you know, the stuff that we used to eat and so forth. Sin remains, but sin does not reign. It's not in charge of their lives anymore. Yahweh was going to be Lord. Jesus reigns and rules within for you and I. So even though there's struggle, the Lord is victorious for us. So for the Israelites, when we're moving up to the law here, for the Israelites, salvation, blessed assurance, and God beginning a relationship with us is at the beginning, not at the end of the law. Okay? As a good New Testament scholar said, God pronounces a man righteous, Abraham, Noah, Moses, you and I, at the beginning of his course, the word should be course, not cause, and not at the end, through faith in Christ. So God's relationship carries us into areas of obedience in which we express our love for Him. So if I were you, the best way to follow in God's ways, Ten Commandments, more summarized than the two great commandments, is to remember God is our Savior. That's how we follow Him in those commandments. And it's the way Jesus lived, because he had a heart for God. In fact, he penned the Ten Commandments, you might say, written by the finger of God. And those Ten Commandments, Bible teachers have said they kind of go into detail of the two great commandments. First four commandments have to do with loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the kind of relationship you want with the Lord. He makes that happen. And then loving our neighbor as ourself, passing the love around, is the last six commandments. No stealing, no adultery, and no lying, and so forth. So it's a call from God. Just keep the law in its proper slot. Gospel first. If it was a train, gospel first, the engine, law, adding support. Okay? Saved without the law, but the law now delighted in and carried along by the one who got us out of slavery to sin and Egypt. I think in my own life it might be different for you, but I think most people, we receive Christ first before we even pay attention much to the law of God. I don't know about you, maybe you did. I didn't know the Ten Commandments before I received Christ. I think they knew there was ten. I knew I'd broken whatever ones I did know. But meeting Christ first, loving God's law came second. And so to keep that in mind for the Israelites and for us today. And wanted to mention a few things about our culture itself, which sometimes dances around the Ten Commandments again, like to our loss, we do. Our culture's response to the Ten Commandments is ambivalent. 75% of the folks say, oh, they should be displayed publicly. You know, schools, courtrooms, churches, and yards, and so forth. And so that's a good thing, because that does provide some kind of restraint against evil and sin. When young people walk around, you know, and want to do things, and they say, oh, I remember, wasn't there something on the school that says, don't lie? You know, God gives us a conscience to affirm that. He writes it on the law. So it does provide some restraint. I was thinking of, you know, what would life be like if God said, do not murder? Would you be a murderer? Especially before you knew the Lord. I was talking to one of my family members. I think I just said, you know, if God said, don't murder, I would just go for it. You know, somebody tick you off, you just, they're gone. God said, he didn't even say anything about that. But he says, do not murder. And so we say, oh, life is from God. Life is holy. And he's the creator. So 75% of Americans, should be a higher percentage, really like the Ten Commandments displayed and so forth. However, 14% of us can name the Ten Commandments. Okay. And service or the recent one about the guy with the yard sign? I think it was the first service. No yard sign story, right? Right. Okay. So there's a story of an atheist and a Christian. And the Christian has a yard sign in his yard with the Ten Commandments. And the atheist said, what's that? Some event coming up? Oh, no, that's the Ten Commandments. The atheist says, yeah, well, I don't believe that, so not interested. And the Christian says, well, why not? It's a really great thing, you know, it's from God. And the atheist gets a little interested and says, yeah, well, great, you know. Tell me about them. What are the Ten Commandments? And the Christian says, let's see. Don't murder, don't steal, I forget, you know. Christian says, I put them up so that I would learn them and follow them. Okay, that's what you call the need for mercy that God's law presents both to the believer and to the unbeliever. It says, you need mercy, because not only don't do them, often you don't even know what they are. And so God's commandments, a way of showing his love for us, a way of showing his graciousness, or else we'll be left to ourselves. not knowing right and wrong. But instead he spells it out clearly. So we can say, oh, this is God's way. You know, to honor father and mother, to not covet, to not have anything before God. And so God's law, very important to us. And one of the things that we can make a mistake of is when we look at the first commandment, I am the Lord your God, have no other gods before me. We can often say, well, what that's telling us, and this would be a bad response, what that's telling us is only God is important and everything else is not important. And it gets to the point where at that time there's an overemphasis of things that are invisible. God's invisible. Heaven is invisible right now. So that's what's important, and all this other stuff is not important. Relationships aren't important. Creation, not that important. That's not going to last too long. And helping others out, that's not that important. Feeding the poor, that's not that important. You know, wasn't it Judas who said that? You know, why would you quote Judas? I don't know. But Jesus said, you can always do that. Do that. And so, one mistake by saying God, only God is important, is that the rest of creation is treated, and it's from God's hand, as not important. And so there's a dishonoring of God at that point, since he's created everything else. The best response to the first commandment is this: God is infinitely, incomparably important, as the group sang. I mean, he's far above everything that he made. But what he made gives glory to him and is very important to him. People, children, refugee children, children going off to school, public school, Christian school, they're important to God. Oh, science is important to God, since all truth came from him. Oh, music is important to God, since it honors him in all kind of different styles. Oh, literature is important to God. That's stories about life. You know, that can teach our limitations. So when you say God is important, all the things under God is used to highlight God, give his glory. And really what they say, you know, whether you're talking about relationships or engineering, a bridge, all those things really say, I am created ultimately by God and I am for his glory. I am for his glory. So the first commandment really makes us accountable and responsible to God for all we do, putting him first in all things. So when you think of the first commandment, think of the responsibility we have and how he's to be honored in everything. We have ways to put this command into practice. I'm the Lord your God, have no other gods before me. Egypt had many gods. And we do too as people in our culture. Gods for us are self, pride, power. You see big anger in the area of government and political realm. And what is it? It's a quest for power. Okay. Money can often be an idol. Love of money, root of all kinds of evil. So worship no one but God. It was an old timer who said, whatever you love and fear and serve and are devoted to more than God, that's your false God. Okay, when you think of the things that you know you love or serve or honor or fear more than God, that's your false God. And we put that under the Lord and have him as God only. Worship no one but God. He's the Lord, our God, who brought us out of sin. One good thing about this commandment, too, it motivates us and challenges us to worship God. There's something about giving to God in thanks and honor and praise that gets our hearts healthy. And You don't want to, as a Christian, get into a thought where, well, you know, gathering together with God's people to worship, that's not that important. What we say at that point is that God Himself and honoring Him is not important. I've often said, and perhaps you have too, I certainly heard it even today among Christian leaders, you know, you don't really need to go and worship God with others, because you could do that as, you know, you go out and mow the lawn, enjoy the fresh air, hit the golf ball, enjoy the greens and the sand traps, and you can worship God in whatever you do. That's true. But I've done those things, and let me tell you, I am not worshiping God on the golf course like I am among His people. And neither are you. Okay. Don't try to make a fool out of God saying, you know, well, I just wanted to worship God at Panera Bread that Sunday. And it was fantastic. Well, you ate, but you didn't thank God like you could have gathered with His people. And so He's the Lord our God. He brought us out of the land of sin. Whoops. How much is the Lord on our minds? That's a good test to see if He has our heart. Can you imagine the Israelites saying, He got us out of Egypt. Can you believe it? We say the same. He got us from the penalty and is getting us from the power of sin. It's fantastic. So we praise His name, His friendship, His fellowship, and how good the Lord is. We pray to the Lord, Lord, give me an undivided heart, because our tendency is to have God and something else as a source of our peace, joy, and purpose. Lord, keep me aware of Your presence. That's a good way to say, okay, throughout the day I'll follow the Lord, put my trust in Him. His glory fills the whole earth, so we can give Him praise and be conscious of Him. And Lord, help me trust You no matter what. That's from the Power for Living of last week. And just that relationship of the Lord. When the Israelites trusted God, then they obeyed God. When they trusted Him, they loved Him. You see. And so you and I could do that and honor His name by walking in His ways. And what isn't it great if out of love for the Lord, we would say, He's the Lord our God. We have nothing before Him. Nothing before Him. And when you think about it, He deserves all that praise and commitment. Because when you and I are given peace in our souls, when we're given strength to face something rough, when we're given the forgiveness of sins, the reminder of that we need, doesn't that come from the Lord our God, who brought us out of the land of slavery? So might His name be praised by His people and followed in these good commandments that are, again, post-salvation, pointing to our need for the gospel. And so seek the Lord in these ways along with me. And let's pray together. Lord, thank You for Your word. Thank You for Your law that we can love. Thank You, Jesus, You fulfilled the law for us. Before the law, we're accountable, but we see Your holiness. We see our sin. And we're in a way silent to You, in need of Your mercy and rescue. And Lord, might we rejoice and take delight in what You have to say to us in your good word. Thank You. One song the choir sang, that every creature uniquely has a song that it brings. And so not just the creatures, but every endeavor, a song of praise to God. And of course, deliver our hearts from idols that are there, and show us again the greatness of Yourself, so that we might say, the Lord, He is God, and there is no other. Might each one of us feel Your blessing and call today. In Your name we pray. Amen.